Next case is United States v. Deborah Loggins. And we have Mr. Shobat.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. With the Court's permission, I'd like to confine my argument this morning to the third argument that we advance in our brief, specifically the argument that deals with the change in the government's position throughout this case.
Mr. Shobat, even before you begin, one factual question, please. Were the three guns introduced into evidence at trial?
All three guns were introduced into evidence. All three were introduced into evidence. And there also were photos of the toy guns as they were found inside the getaway car, one in the front passenger seat and one in the rear passenger side, which is where Tyron Love and Mario Johnson, the two gentlemen who went into the bank, were seated as they fled the bank.
And at trial, was any witness asked to identify which of the three guns was the one used to commit the robbery?
No. Four tellers testified at the trial. Not a single one of the tellers was ever shown either the toy gun or the real gun, either by the government or by the defense, and asked to say, was this the gun that was used by Mario Johnson during the commission of the credit union robbery? In fact, Ms. Loggins also testified at trial, and she was not shown the real gun or the toy guns or asked any questions about those. Ms. Loggins' testimony was that her gun was at all times in her purse, and her purse was in the trunk of the vehicle, which she removed her purse after she left her vehicle, after she had driven her vehicle to the condominium complex and had left. She popped the trunk, grabbed her purse, and began walking on foot. Officer Glumak, who recovered the gun, or a fellow officer actually recovered it, but Officer Glumak testified that when the gun was recovered from her purse, and that it was wrapped inside a white towel at the time that it was recovered. It was clear, in my view, it was absolutely crystal clear that that gun had never left the purse of Ms. Loggins.
And just let me make certain that I've got it absolutely correct. Suddenly, after the evidence is closed, and Ms. Loggins' closing has been given, it's your contention that the government takes the position that her gun was the one used by her co-defendants to rob the credit union, contrary to its position before trial. The government then suggests that the guns are easy to distinguish and that the gun the tellers described must have been Loggins' gun rather than one of the toy guns.
The rebuttal argument was unmistakably clear that the real gun was handed by Ms. Loggins and given to Mario Johnson, who then went inside the bank and robbed the bank, because my client never ever set foot inside the bank. She was always in the car. So yes, the government made unmistakably clear for the first time, even to the point where they held up the real gun in front of the jury and said, this gun is the gun that was handed by Ms. Loggins to Mario Johnson and used in the commission of the credit union robbery. Now, that was the first time that the government had ever throughout the course of these entire proceedings taken the position that that was the gun that was used by Mario Johnson when he went in and robbed the credit union.
How was it introduced into evidence?
The gun was introduced in evidence, Your Honor, because it was recovered from Ms. Loggins' purse. In other words, after the robbery is over and the car drives away, it eventually stops at a condominium complex. That car is then seized by the Calumet City police officers. But the gun is with Mrs. Loggins in her purse.
That's why it was an exhibit and introduced into evidence.
Right.
Wasn't there some testimony she furnished the gun to one of the robbers?
There was no testimony that she ever furnished the gun to the robbers. Nicole Reynolds, who was the fourth person, the second woman, she testified at trial. She was a cooperating defendant. She testified that the gun was shown to Mario Johnson the night before when the four of them were in the hotel room.
Wasn't there some conversation relating to the gun?
That Deborah Loggins, she testified that Deborah Loggins showed this gun to everybody and said, "See my gun," and then put it back in her purse. But on the day, which
there was
by
no
the way,
discussion
we,
at that time that she was going to give the gun to anybody for use.
That was not my recollection. Is that was not her testimony that it was given. And in fact, she testified on the day of the robbery, she never saw
any
gun.
I'm not talking about her testimony. I'm talking about her testimony. I'm talking about testimony of other witnesses.
The only other witness who was present the night before the credit union robbery was Deborah Loggins, and she testified that she absolutely did not remove her purse and her gun from the purse and did not show that gun.
So the testimony of I'm talking about looking at the light from the government's point of view, that somebody testified, she said, "This is my gun that we can use in the robbery?"
It was not the testimony that it could be used in a robbery, but I will say this, that the thrust of Nicole Reynolds' testimony was that the four of them raised the idea of robbing a bank the next day. And during the course of that conversation, at one point Ms. Loggins took her gun out and said, "Hey, look at this." That was what her testimony was. Now, that was not what she had ever said in any prior statement, and I know she was cross-examined about it, that this was made up and fabricated.
No, I'm not talking about the testimony at trial that involved her. I'm talking about the testimony of another witness, which would give the predicate for the argument. There is what I'm seeking.
Yeah, there was no other witness who testified to that. And, in fact, Mario Johnson, who pled guilty, in the course of his guilty plea, said, "I had a toy gun. I used a toy gun at all times when I committed that robbery." Tyron Love, who pled guilty, said under oath to Judge Norgel, Mario Johnson used a toy gun. It was a toy gun that was used. The government, during the course of both of those plea colloquies, stated that the evidence is that the toy gun was used in the commission of those robberies, and they set out their factual basis, and Judge Norgel questioned them about the toy gun, and prosecutor went in at length describing how they knew it was the toy gun, that they had looked at the FBI photos and had compared the FBI photos, the bank photos that the FBI had seized, and they had tried to compare the real gun, which had now been obviously seized from Ms. Loggins, to the toy gun, and the FBI said they couldn't say it was the real gun, and in fact, they believed it was a toy gun. The description of the gun was given by the prosecutor. This happened when those two gentlemen pled guilty. When Nicole Reynolds pled guilty just 5 days before trial, now we're talking, 6 weeks later, the government adhered to its position. It was the toy guns that were used, and that Nicole Reynolds didn't know one way or the other whether it was the toy guns, but that was the government's position, and Judge Morgan accepted
the
plea.
The armed robbery would make a difference. It wouldn't make a particle of difference whether it was a toy gun or a real gun.
It wouldn't make a difference in terms of whether a real gun or a fake gun or a person's hand was used for the person who was committing the robbery. But obviously it was a critical fact to the question of whether Ms. Loggins knew that the gentlemen who went into the bank were going to be robbing the bank. Obviously, if she had handed her gun to
They talked about the robbery the night before.
That was not her testimony. That was the testimony of Nicole Reynolds.
That's the testimony the jury could rely on.
If they wanted to credit Nicole Reynolds' testimony.
She lugged the gun with her all that time.
Well, she testified that she had the gun with her at all time. And Judge, in all candor, if the government had said, "We're going to argue to the jury that gun was removed from that purse and it was given to Mario Johnson," and if that had been their position, the defense would have put on the evidence of the FBI agent who said, the forensic examiner who said, "I have examined the photos of this bank and I have examined the real gun and I cannot say that the real gun was used." That we would have offered to the jury, and we did offer to Judge Norgel, to please put this before the jury, the sworn testimony of each of those two defendants who said, "I'd never used the real gun, I used a toy gun." Now, we did not offer that evidence until the moment we knew that was the government's position. And at that time, Judge Norgel simply refused to let us reopen our proofs and put that evidence before the jury. He had previously not allowed us to put in evidence of another statement that Tyron Love had made, and that's the subject of a different issue on appeal. And so we think that what happened here was in rebuttal case, there was a due process violation because we were not, we were relying, I think reasonably so, in light of the five occasions in which the government had said to the court and had presented the position to the court that the toy guns were used, the testimony of the two co-defendants that the toy guns were used, and that Ms. Loggins was severely prejudiced by this argument because we had at that point no more opportunity to put in additional evidence, and when we tried to, the judge refused to let us do it.
And okay. When the prior to the trial, the OSA said if you laid them side by side without picking them up, they would look almost identical in appearance. And then in rebuttal, the government suggested that the guns were easy to distinguish and that the guns the tellers described must have been her gun rather than one of the toy guns, although they had never questioned the teller. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Ms. Brown?
Good morning. First and foremost, judicial estoppel does not apply to the instant case. Judicial estoppel is the principle in which a judgment that is rendered in one case on some ground cannot then be abandoned by the government in its effort to obtain a different judgment or the same judgment on an inconsistent ground.
Well, what accounts for the government's change in theory as to the guns? Before trial, everyone appears, you know, to have agreed that one of the toy guns was used to commit the robbery. And then suddenly, in the rebuttal argument, the government seems to have changed its mind. And Judge Norgel, you know, doesn't permit any response to what certainly was an 11th-hour argument.
Your Honor, a couple of notes. The government, as it was represented throughout the plea process and at trial, I was involved in that process. As noted in the brief, the .38 caliber revolver was not produced by the FBI until the very eve of trial. And so prior to that date, the evidence that the government examined in moving forward with the pleas were the photos of the bank robbery and the photos of the toy guns. There was no photo of the .38 revolver. There was no image that the government had available to it to examine it. And the .38 revolver did not get produced to the government by the FBI until just short of trial.
That happened.
Well, Your Honor, as we represented to Judge Norgel, the .38 revolver, quite frankly, went missing out of evidence. And that's why we had to ask for an extension of the trial date, which Judge Norgel granted and which Mr. Shobat and Ms. Loggins had no objection to. Once we had the gun in evidence, there was testimony at trial from Ms. Reynolds, and I'll direct Your Honor's attention to transcripts at page 102, 108, and 121, in which Ms. Reynolds testified that on the eve of the robbery, she and her co-defendants had shared a room at the Motel 6, during which the robbery was discussed. And during that meeting and during that discussion, Ms. Reynolds testified that she saw the defendant show Mario Johnson the silver revolver from her purse and indicate to Mr. Johnson, you are to use this gun during the course of the robbery. Then IFCU tellers who testified on behalf of the government, as well as tellers who testified on behalf of the defendant, testified about seeing a large silver gun, and they described that in detail. Now, the government didn't ask which gun was used, and defense counsel didn't ask what gun was used. And the reason, bring me back to the first point, which is judicial estoppel doesn't apply to this case, it does not matter whether a real gun was used or whether a fake gun was used.
Well,
the charge doesn't...
From Robert's point of view, it does. That, I mean, simply because I'm still a little bit confused about why this gun didn't get... you just said it got lost in the chain of custody somewhere.
Yes.
I guess somebody identified it and put it into evidence.
Yes, it was put into evidence at the time that Ms. Loggins was arrested, and when we asked for the gun to be produced for purposes of trial, we then learned that the gun was missing.
Evidence. I'm talking about the trial.
Yes.
It must have been introduced into evidence.
It was introduced into evidence. It was shown to Ms. Reynolds, and it was also introduced, I believe, through Officer Glumack. It was introduced.
Let me try and explain why I think it's very important, whether it was a toy gun or a real gun or a, you know. Ms. Loggins' defense here was that she had no advance knowledge of the robbery and merely drove the car away from the credit union in a panic. That was her whole defense throughout the trial. However, if indeed it was her gun that the co-defendants used to rob the credit union, then her defense isn't even plausible. And that's why the government's sudden turnabout here is so important. In other words, suddenly after the evidence is all closed, she's given her closing, there's a whole new position taken here. You know, I mean, if I'd been Mr. Shobat, I would have fainted.
Well, Your Honor, Mr. Shobat invited the comment. I'll direct you to transcript page 558 to 559, during which he said that the .38 revolver recovered from the defendant's purse, quote, wasn't used in the commission of the robbery. The toy gun was used by Mario Johnson. And how do you know that? Because the toy gun is also silver with a brown handle, and because when the car was stopped in both in the front seat and the back seat are the toy guns. Now, an equally permissible inference is from the testimony of Ms. Reynolds and from the testimony of the tellers, which is that the toy guns were not the guns that were used. In fact, it was the .38 revolver. Furthermore, I'd note about Ms. Loggins' defense, which was that she was simply a getaway driver. The jury instructions, which are part of the record in this case, instructed the jury that escape is part and parcel of a bank robbery. And that comes from, I believe, a Seventh Circuit case that came down sometime last year. So even by Ms. Loggins' own admission, she was guilty of the offense that with which she was charged and of which she was convicted.
Unless she doesn't know that she's in a robbery.
She testified a robbery had been committed the minute that they left from the robbery. She understood and testified on both direct and cross-examination that she understood she was driving her co-defendants away from a robbery. The dye pack with the money exploded in her car as she was driving away.
Well, at that point, of course.
And she continued to drive for minutes at high rates of speed, followed by an IFCU employee who was intrepid enough to be following her over to a condominium association where she nearly plowed through the gate at the condominium association and then drove to the back of the condominium association, attempted to leave the condominium association complex, and then was stopped by police where she was then arrested.
But that is her defense, that she was in such a panic at that point that all of this ensues.
Yes, and the instruction was that escape is part and parcel of a bank robbery, and she testified to doing as much on direct and on cross. The reality of the situation is that the government made what was an arguable inference, and the judge made a conclusion in sentencing her, a conclusion that the defendant does not appeal, that a real gun was brandished during the robbery. And I'd note that the government went back after trial, after hearing this testimony at trial, after making the inference, and asked that the same enhancement apply to all three co-defendants, and the district court applied the enhancement to all three co-defendants.
Ms. Brown, where are the guns?
Your Honor, the guns are still in evidence with the FBI.
So, as if we wanted to see the guns, since they were introduced into evidence,
yes, we could
at trial, and if we wanted to see the photos of the guns that was introduced at trial, we could get those.
We could absolutely show you those, as well as the record, which reflects that Mr. Shobat saw the real gun and the two fake guns actually before the government did. I'll be quite honest, Mr. Chobat saw them months before I did because I saw them probably a day or two before trial.
Wait a minute.
The late production of the 38 revolver.
You say, Mr. The defense attorney saw them months before.
Yes, he requested an opportunity to review.
Earlier you said something about they didn't turn up or something.
Well, the 38 revolver had been shown to Mr. Chobat, put back into evidence, and reasons that are beyond
back in the evidence locker.
Put in the evidence locker and beyond.
She leaves out the word locker a
couple
of times.
Yes, I apologize. For reasons beyond my knowledge, the evidence locker swallowed the 38 revolver whole for approximately a week, and then it reappeared. So that is why we asked for the extension of the trial date. And once we obtained the 38 revolver, we proceeded to trial.
Is it unfair to ask why the government didn't question the teller about, is this the gun, you know, there were four tellers. I mean, forget, you know, the defense. Why should the defense go around saying, is this the gun? But why didn't the government?
Because it's not an element of the charge. All they have to testify to is that they are put in some kind of fear. In the process of describing why they're in fear, which is that they believe a gun is being pointed at them, we asked for a description of that gun to justify to the jury that there is an actual charge worth returning a conviction on as to Ms. Loggins.
What was that enhancement?
It is an enhancement for a real gun as opposed to a dangerous weapon being used or brandished.
But after the fact, it was enhanced. And nobody objected.
No one objected, and it's not an issue on appeal by the defendant, and none of the co-defendants appealed that as well.
It has to be an issue on the appeal.
Well, Your Honor, the specific enhancement, Mr. Chobat and Ms. Loggins have not appealed that issue. Even if you would, I guess theoretically the only situation would be if you would reverse the conviction. We would go back through the process again. Judge Norgel would conceivably give the same enhancement again, and then the limited issue before this court is whether or not the limited enhancement would be legitimate, whether that would be justified. On behalf of the government, however, I would ask you to affirm the conviction of Ms. Loggins. Thank you.
Thanks. Your time has expired. I'll give you 30 seconds to do a wrap-up. Do it quick.
First
of all, we did obviously object to the enhancement, the difference in the enhancement, and the judge did rule consistent to what he said. It's quite clear the objections are there, and the reason we have not appealed it to the extent that's relevant is if you look at 2B3.1B2C, it says that the enhancement applies whether the firearm is brandished or possessed. And the Judge Norgel made alternative finding that even if it wasn't brandished in the bank robbery, it was possessed. Now, there's no dispute that Ms. Loggins had constructive possession because it was in her purse, in her car.
That's actual possession, by the way.
Pardon?
That's actual possession.
Yeah, well, that would be actual possession, particularly when she carried the purse with her, and that's the time she was arrested. She had dominion and control over it. So we haven't appealed that. Now, with respect to the missing firearm issue, it is true that the defense, did see the actual weapon several months before trial when we went to the FBI office to examine.
Did you think they looked alike?
I felt that they were somewhat similar, although I have to admit the toy guns look like toy guns, and the real gun looks like a real gun.
Don't you know they're toy guns? They look like toy guns.
Yeah, they look like toy guns. And so apparently what happened was somewhere in the evidence vault, it was misplaced and the government couldn't produce it.
It's a big vault.
Locker.
Mr. Chobat,
yes.
Let me just ask you, where is Ms. Loggins incarcerated?
She is. She is.
I don't remember the sentence.
78 months, I think.
Okay.
Since I'm not positive, but I believe that's right. I could give you the exact number in a second.
We can find the exact time.
Yeah, okay. We can find
that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks
to both counsel. Mr. Chobat, I understand you were court-appointed. I appreciate you taking that assignment and your aggressive advocacy for your client. Okay, this will be taken under advisement.